Sunday of Advent, as we gather to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Let's bow together for the invocation. Eternal God, our Father, who calls the light to shine out of darkness, and especially in the advent of our Lord Jesus, we now humbly confess our transgressions, our sins, and our iniquities. And, O God, we implore your forgiveness. We pray that during these very special days, that the Spirit of Christ may be born anew within each of us, and that we would glorify his nativity with hearts of compassion, deeds of kindly service, and with a spirit of goodwill toward all humanity. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This is the season of Advent. Advent, waiting. Waiting with great expectation. Expectation of our King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. Let us bring praise to him as we gather this morning. Hail, hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son. Would you turn in our hymnal to number 203, 203, Hail to the Lord's anointed. Would you stand if you're able and let us praise.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captives free. Take away transgression and rule iniquity. He comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong. To give them songs for sighing, their darkness turn to light. Whose souls condemned and dying are precious in his sight. He shall come down like showers upon the fruitful earth. Love, joy, and hope like flowers spring in his path to birth. Before him on the mountains shall peace the herald go, and righteousness in fountains from hill to valley flow. To him shall prayer unceasing and daily vows ascend, his kingdom still increasing, a kingdom without end. The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever, that name to us is love.
Please remain standing for our litany as to the introduction of the hanging of greens. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be raised above the hill. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say,
come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's path.
With what shall we come to God's house? Let us bring branches of cedar and holly and evergreens and a pine tree. Let us also hang wreaths and garlands.
Make the church fragrant with the smell of living things. In acts of hanging greens and listening to the words of prophets and seers, let us make our hearts in this space a place of inward and outward preparation for the one who comes to give us second birth.
You may be seated.
As we come to the time of intercessory prayer, I got a few announcements. Bill Miller passed away on Friday. No arrangements have been made yet. Jim Watson came through his surgery fine on Thursday. I believe he's back home now, which is good, so keep him in your prayers. And also Fran Bagley is in Eastside with upper respiratory problems, so just please keep Fran in your prayers as well. Any other needs, please raise your hand. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today humbly bowing and asking for your prayer for all these needs, all the ones mentioned and all the hands uplifted. You know each one's heart. You know each one's need. I just ask that you be with each and every need and that your will be done in each and every situation. We thank you, Father, for bringing us all here today. And Father, we just praise your name and thank you for the anticipation of this Advent season of your Son coming for us. We thank you for all he did, and we thank you for the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Chancellor Choir. And now Mike and Claire Fowler will come to lead us in our observance of the Advent wreath.
Human heart to wait while trusting God's eternal time.
How long, Lord? How long?
For those waiting for answered prayer. For those waiting in the face of uncertainty. For those waiting for justice and mercy to reign. For all of us waiting for God's kingdom to come, grant that we might have peace of Christ as we wait the love of Christ as we act and the grace of Christ as we speak.
This morning we light the first candle, which reminds us that throughout history, God's people have spent time waiting, wandering, and wondering about the timing of God's eternal plan. Like the people of old, we long for God's presence to illuminate the areas of life where we are called to wait. This morning we echo the words of the psalmist, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord."
O come, Emmanuel, as we wait. Let's turn in our hymnal to 211. O come, Emmanuel. We'll sing verses 1, 6, and 7. We'll just stand.
Patricia Moon will come and share with us the sanctuary evergreens.
The most striking and the most universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are evergreen, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Christ Jesus. In Isaiah 60:13, we find these words: "The glory of Lebanon shall come upon unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Our forefathers called the procuring of these evergreens bringing home Christmas.
As we bring home Christmas, let us rejoice. Good Christian friends, my friends, let us rejoice together. Hymn number 224, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice." Would you stand if you are able? Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul voice. Give heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now we hear of endless bliss. News, news, Jesus Christ was born to this. He hath opened heaven's door, and ye are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart, soul, and voice. Now we need not fear the grave. News, news, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Did. And now Mrs. Joy Purvis will come to share with us the emphasis on the window candles.
The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Isaiah 9:2. The babe born in a barn manger in Bethlehem was born the Christ child, the light of the world. We light candles at Christmas to remind us of the dawning of that light and as symbols of the victory of light over darkness. The Apostle Peter wrote that as children of light, we are to show forth the praises of him who hath called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9.
And we want to walk as children of the light, right? Let us turn in our hymnal to 206. "I want to walk as a child of the light." Please stand.
Mm-hmm.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God sets the stars to give light to the world. The start of my life is Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
Good morning. All right. So this morning, as you can see, we're decorating for something really special. And I'm going to tell a story that a lot of you probably know, which is awesome. It's an amazing story about our Savior's birth, okay? You look behind you, you see what we have set up? What's that called? The Nativity? Yeah. Okay. So here's the story. A long time ago in the town of Nazareth lived a young woman named Mary. Mary did her chores, was kind to others, and loved God very much. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, who was a carpenter. Can you show me where Mary and Joseph are? They're right behind the baby. Yeah. One day while Mary was at home cleaning her room, an angel suddenly appeared. Before Mary could say anything, the angel told Mary that she was favored by God and that God was with her. Can you see where the angel is? It's kind of far up there. Yeah, so it's above everyone, right? Mary was surprised. She was trying to not be afraid, but she had never seen an angel before. Wouldn't you be afraid at first, too?
No.
You wouldn't be afraid? Okay, well, yeah. just a guy with wings. It's fine. After all, Mary was just a regular person like you and I. Why was the angel visiting her? What did the angel want? Do you know?
I
Wait. Yeah. Jesus. So the angel quickly reassured Mary to not be afraid. The angel said, God has found favor with you. You will have a baby boy, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Which this is all big news to Mary, because one, she was confused because she wasn't married to Joseph. So how could she have a baby? The angel thought that this might concern Mary, so he said, the Holy Spirit will perform a miracle. And because of this, your baby will be called the Son of God. So then Mary kind of started to understand. So even though Mary was surprised, the angel had more exciting news. Even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a son in her old age. Many thought that she couldn't have children, but she is already pregnant. So this is really exciting for both of them. So nothing is impossible with God. That's what it proves. So Mary couldn't believe what she was hearing. She didn't know what to say. She realized that she was trembling and knelt down, and she was finally able to speak with the angel. I am the Lord's servant, and I hope everything you have said will come true. So even though Mary was extremely terrified at first, she calmed down and realized that this was all part of God's plan, and there's no reason to be scared, so she had faith in God. The angel disappeared, and Mary was left alone. Soon after, Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a baby. Joseph was confused too and upset by this. But the angel came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child Mary is going to have is God's son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus. When Joseph woke up, he remembered what the angel had said. He knew that everything was okay, and he didn't need to be upset anymore. So Joseph also had faith in what God's plan was. In those days, the government decided that they should count everyone that lived in that area of the world. So Joseph had to take Mary to his town of Bethlehem to register. It took Mary and Joseph a long time to get to Bethlehem. They didn't have cars back then, so it probably took them a long time to get there. This was very tiring for Mary because she was soon going to have a baby. Can you guys see where the donkey is? So yeah, the donkey that they rode stuck with them the whole time, even through the birth of Jesus. When they reached the town, all the hotels were full and there was nowhere that they could stay. Someone finally saw that they were in need of help and offered them a place to stay. The Bible doesn't say for sure where they stayed, but most people think that they stayed in a small barn where animals were kept. In any case, isn't it strange that she had a baby in a barn?
No.
Not really?
No.
Doesn't this kind of represent, one, even though Jesus is our king, he's somewhat like us and can be found with people like us, right? Yeah.
Jesus may have been just an ordinary baby born in a humble stable, but he's our Lord.
Yep, he's our Lord. So it doesn't matter where he's born. I'm here to save you guys, right? So, Mary and Joseph were thankful that they at least had a place to lie down. It was warm, and there was plenty of straw to lay on. So they were still grateful for even the small thing that they had. That night, an exciting thing happened. Mary and Joseph had a baby. But this wasn't just any baby. He was baby Jesus, the creator of the whole world, the King of Kings, and the one who would save the world. The little baby boy fell asleep in Mary's arms. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger on some clean straw. Mary and Joseph soon fell asleep. They were so glad to have this special baby join their family. So, as you can see in the nativity, there's some other people there too. So, after Jesus was born, a lot of people came to visit him. Who all came to visit him? Raise your hands. Anyone else? Yeah, Peyton? Do you know? Okay, Ethan?
The wise dudes.
The wise dudes? That's another name for them. And what did they bring? Yeah, they brought gifts for baby Jesus.
They brought some money.
They brought money?
I don't know.
They brought gold, silver, and frankincense.
And myrrh, right? So, which were great gifts for them.
Mr. Shepherd.
A shepherd did come. And what did they follow?
The North Star.
The North Star, right? And that's why sometimes we put a star on our tree to represent the North Star. So this is all very exciting, and it's the story of our Savior. So, will you guys pray with me? Okay. Dear God, thank you so much for your son to be born not only for our sins, but for the whole world. God, we love you with all of our heart. Amen.
The King of Kings came in a very humble place in this world. Now, isn't that comforting for us to know? Because he can come in to the very humble place in our hearts, no matter where we may be. Away in a manger, no crib for the bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Would you stand if you're able and turn in our hymnal to 217, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for the bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep.
Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come near to your altar, and especially during these days and weeks of Advent, we're keenly mindful as to the greatest gift ever given, the gift of Christ, your Son and our Savior. Lord, we've gathered here on this first Sunday of Advent to worship you, to rejoice in whose we are, and Father, to grow closer and closer to you, to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. It's in that regard, our Father, that we place now before you these gifts and these offerings. Father, may these gifts represent our desire to give each of ourselves to you, the best we are and the best we have. Lord, use these tangible gifts to help publish the good news of Christ and to advance your kingdom. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. may be seated. Thank you, Chancellor Choir and Susan. And now Valir Kelly will come and share with us the Poinsettia.
Most Christmas greenery reflects European traditions, But one colorful plant, which looks like a flaming star, the poinsettia, is a native to the American continent. A Mexican legend explains how poinsettias came to be associated with Christmas. Apparently, a child who could not afford a gift to offer the Christ on Christmas Eve picked some weeds from the side of the road. The child was told that a humble gift, if given in love, would be acceptable in God's eyes. When brought into the church, the weeds bloomed into red and green flowers, and the congregation felt they had witnessed a Christmas miracle. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia is a many-pointed star that has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem.
And there's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. Let's turn to hymn 249. 249, there's a song in the air. Please stand.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer. And a baby's low cry, and the star reigns his far while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. Guided star reigns his fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of the star lie the ages impearled, and the song from afar has swept over the world. Every hearth is aflame, and the beautiful sing in the homes of the nations that Jesus is King. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throne. I will shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in this cradle our Savior and King.
You may be seated. And now Keith and Laura Sorek and Zoe Redmond will come and share with us the Chrismon tree.
The Chrismon tree is the central focus of our Advent festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it radiates the beauty and meaning of Christmas. The story is told that on one Christmas Eve, Martin Luther wandered outdoors and became enraptured with the beauty of the starry sky. Its brilliance and loveliness led him to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve as seen in Bethlehem's radiant skies. Wishing to share with his wife and children the enchantment that he had felt, he cut from the forest an evergreen glistening with snow and took it home. He placed upon it candles to represent the glorious heavens he had seen. The use of the candle-lighted tree spread all through Europe. Then America came to regard it as the central ornament of Christmas.
Many Christian congregations, like us here at Loganville First United Methodist, decorate an evergreen tree with chrismons, or Christmas monograms. Our tree is covered with these white and gold symbols of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us join together in singing a great Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, as we light our tree.
Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more lessons and sorrows grow, no thorns infest the throne. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. It's been a beautiful beginning to the Advent season, and we're certainly blessed today by your presence and with your participation. This is a very holy and hallowed time of Christendom, and throughout these next several weeks, we celebrate the gift of Christ, not only for the church, but indeed for all the world. And that's our mission, to take Christ to the neighbor, to the struggler, to the stranger. The Lord bless us in that endeavor as we understand more and more the very essence, the significance of Christmas. For unto us a Savior has come. Unto us, the Christ child is born. And aren't we grateful that Christ was not just born in the manger of Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, but that Christ has been born and lives and reigns in that manger of our heart and through our daily lives. The Lord bless you, dear people.